all. It is time now for our city talk, and I think we got half the city in here today. Mike Bailey, how you doing?
We're barely in here. We're
in with a shoehorn, aren't we?
Yeah, I'd have brought another one, but they'd have had to wait in the hall, Tom.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. I spent it with some of our folks in blue. Yeah. As a matter of fact, at the police officer's Officer of the Year ceremony, and high praise to the FOP and all the officers and the foundation, and of course, the folks at City Hall, everybody chipping in and working out, and looked really good and sounded really good. That Lori Fulbright sure knows how to spark up a room.
She sure did. Yeah. It really was a great event. They do a good job. They always roast the receiver, it's always one of those things where you're just a little bit nervous when you're present for a roast. They're easy to go too far, or but man, they the last 2 years they've done a fantastic job. This year, I believe it was Tyler Lee, wasn't it, Jay?
Yeah,
Tyler Lee did the roast, and the sergeant. I'm sorry, I'm going blank. Jay, what was the sergeant's name who received the
Chris Neal?
Yes, Sergeant Neal. Man, what a! It really was a great night, and Lori Fulbright did a great job, and Rocky was there. He'll be on the mic. He can't get to a mic right now. We've got him boxed out. He'll be up here in a little
bit.
But yeah, no, it was a great event, and it always is, and I always appreciate going out and spending the evening with those guys and seeing them outside of their job. I know most people don't get an opportunity to. You just see them in uniform in a car, or sometimes not in the best of circumstances, but man, it's great to get out and see them like that.
And you know, a special treat, I got to see the Firefighter of the Year just about a month or so ago.
Yep.
That was a great honor.
And I think, Chief, that was probably that was the first time we've done the Firefighter of the Year in quite a while, isn't it?
In forever, pretty much. Yeah, I don't believe the city's had ever hosted one. The union always hosted it, but last year we started hosting it through the fire department.
So those are great events. It gives us an opportunity to celebrate.
Both
the departments, and like I said, get them outside of their jobs and see them in a different light. And man, it was a lot of fun. So I appreciate everybody who was involved in that. My involvement was to attend. So everybody who had something to do with it, I appreciate them. Well, Tom, we've got a series that we've kind of got going on. We had planned three radio programs to talk about the upcoming election. But before we leap into that, we had a few other things to discuss. Last Monday, so a week ago, we had our council meeting. And it was relatively short council meeting, but there were three items on there that are probably relatively important and worth discussing. One was a wastewater consent order. And so for anybody who's wondering what that is, the city of Bartlesville has been working with the Oklahoma Department of Environmental Quality. It's decades that goes back, to resolve some of the issues that are inherent in our wastewater system. And we really are down to the last step now. I know consent order sounds really bad, but in reality, this is a voluntary type program. The consent order is formalizing an agreement that we have with the ODEQ on how we're going to resolve that. So this probably will be the last consent order, we hope, the last consent order that we have from ODEQ. And this will be a big one. This is a project that we've talked about actually since I think the first facilities plan was done in 2002. And so this, in the next, I would say, 5 years, we should be under construction on a new wastewater plant and a big collection system improvement on that.
This is
a huge project and a long time coming, and it was in the planning long before I got here, but hopefully I'll be here to see its completion. I'll be the lucky one that was here when we were finished with it. But the big project, we'll be talking more about that as we approach it. It will be paid through wastewater rates, just like all of our wastewater projects, and we've been doing a series of rate increases so that we can prepare for that. But these aren't things that you do by choice. They're things that you do for two reasons. Number one, it's the right thing to do, and number two, it's because you are required to do these things by law.
So, necessity.
Yeah, that's right. We unfunded mandates. But again, these are all good improvements, and they really will make for a better system. One of the other things that we had going on, and I know it is a topic of conversation, is the coronavirus. And so Kerry Cox, Washington County Emergency Management, that is a shared venture between Washington County and the city of Bartlesville, Kerry came to the council meeting and addressed the council, sort of gave them an update on the coronavirus. Now I realize it's a week old, and now it honestly is a little out of date because things are moving fast with the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, there were no cases in Oklahoma. There really were limited cases around the country. And there were a few things that Kerry wanted everybody to know. Number one, that we at that time especially were at relatively low risk in Bartlesville. That doesn't mean that you can't contract the coronavirus or that it will not be here. It just means that at this point in time in Bartlesville, you're at low risk for contracting it. Since then, of course, there has been Oklahoma's first confirmed case. It was somebody who went into, he is in quarantine at this point in time. I believe it was voluntary quarantine, came back from Italy. So it's something that we'll monitor. The biggest point of Kerry's presentation, though, was essentially to reaffirm that there is a plan in place. Now, that's not something that they lay out every detail of when they talk publicly, because there is some security risks involved in these emergency plans. But there is a plan in place, and it does involve multiple agencies. It will involve the fire department, the police department. It will involve the Washington County Health. And more than likely, this will be something that will be executed under the jurisdiction of someone else. This will be the CDC or the Oklahoma Department of Emergency Management. So, just want to reassure the public that this is not something that we're ignoring, but at this point in time, there really are no steps for the city to take. We do get some questions, and we're happy to answer those, but there's really, at this point in time, other than being prepared, there's just not a lot we can do. For anybody who is concerned about their own health, the CDC has a great resource, and it tells you how to improve your chances of not being infected mm-hmm. at this point in time. So we just encourage everybody not to panic, but to be prepared. So that was a great opportunity to update the council on that, and we'll continue to monitor that and update as necessary. And again, if you have questions, Kerry Cox's office, Washington County Emergency Management, is a great resource. But if you just want to know a little bit more about the virus, I would check out the CDC's website first. And the last thing that the council did was that they approved some Pathfinder projects. And Pathfinder Parkway in Bartlesville is probably one of our most important and most popular resources and parks. And in fact, we have a very extensive trail system for anybody who has not experienced that. I'd encourage you to get out, maybe not today, but once the rain stops and you got a little sunlight and a little bit better weather, I'd encourage you to go out and explore it. So the projects that council approved on Monday, there used to be a trailhead at Eastland Shopping Center. After they built the Chick-fil-A, that trailhead kind of dead-ended at the drive-thru. So we're actually looking to extend Pathfinder on it would be the south side of the creek there. I think that's Turkey Creek, isn't it, guys? On the south side of Turkey Creek, and it will actually go up the hill. It will go past the Long John Silvers and on down Brookline and around, and it'll actually ultimately connect with the Pathfinder that runs all the way to Sooner Park. So the intent now will be that you can get on Pathfinder at Johnstone or at really at any of our major parks and connect with any of the other major parks. So this will be the last leg to sort of connect that. So that really is a great project. This one's been worked on for a long time. In fact, there's a grant even involved with this one. The other two stretches that the council has approved, now these aren't new trails, these will just be redos of existing trails that are very popular areas. Frank Phillips Boulevard, this will be on the north side of Frank Phillips between Comanche and Silver Lake. We'll go in there and repair that entire section of the trail. And then on Silver Lake, this is from Nowata to Adams. This is the one that runs really in front of like the football fields and the baseball fields down there at Wesleyan. This runs right through there, so this part of the path will be redone as well. So all of those will council awarded those, and we'll be looking forward to that construction mm-hmm. beginning on that soon. But it will be inconvenient, as is all construction projects, but just have to keep in mind the end result. Try to coordinate them to the best of our ability, yeah. But there's no way to make them any less inconvenient. So, and one of the other things that we have done recently is that the city of Bartlesville, for the first time in my knowledge, did what's called an innovation challenge. And I think the best run organizations are organizations that create a way for their employees to share their ideas with the top decision makers and remove a lot of the barriers for that. So our way of doing this was to create an innovation challenge that rewarded our employees. And so what we did was with the last budget, the council approved a very nice vacation package as a grand prize. And we gave the employees some instructions on how to submit. We had 53 submissions from 33 employees. We did a celebration, I guess that would have been probably 2 weeks ago now. We did a celebration for all of the participants at the Price Tower and thanked the Price Tower for helping us out with that. And then we had several finalists, and it got down to the final two. Second place was Tammy Hudgens. She had an idea for some energy efficiency improvements to City Hall buildings. But the grand prize winner was Kelsey Walker, and Kelsey came up with the idea for an app to connect the citizens more easily and better with the city of Bartlesville. So those were the two top ideas. However, I will tell you that there are many of these ideas that we're currently implementing even as we speak. So it really was a very successful challenge, and we're very thankful to that. So I wanted to thank all the participants, congratulate Tammy and Kelsey, and then also I'd be remiss if I didn't thank the Price Tower. They donated some gifts, some prizes, and really helped us out with this. So I wanted to thank Rick and the Price Tower for their participation in that. So, all right, I've ran on for about 11 minutes. These guys are looking anxious because they have a lot to talk about with their capital elections.
You bet.
So, but on April 7th will be a capital election. This is an opportunity for the citizens to extend two existing capital programs. One of them will be general obligation bonds, and one of them will be a capital improvement sales tax. So there are five propositions on there. And again, these are renewals of existing programs, so it's important to keep in mind that they won't raise taxes. But if citizens have any questions after hearing us here on the radio, feel free to reach up to City Hall, 918-338-4282, and we'll be happy to answer your questions to the best of our abilities. All right, with that, I have here Fire Chief John Banks, who is sitting here with his arm in a sling unknown reasons. I've been telling everybody.
I've always said it's better to have your arm in a sling than anything else.
I've been telling everybody that he got a little lippy at our last meeting.
He may have had a
procedure. I'm not sure I could take him. I'd try.
You'd be wearing a sling, Bailey.
Chief, there's actually, I think we've got five projects on the, all of your projects were in the general obligation bonds, and certainly the largest one of those is a ladder truck. Can you talk a little bit about that and the truck that it's replacing in particular?
Yeah, our aerial fleet is aging somewhat. We have a 1975 Snorkel, which is 45 years old, that this truck will be replacing. It's going to be a 95 to 100 foot, depending on how the bids come in, of course.
Right.
Tower truck, which basically that's a ladder truck with a bucket on the end of it. It'd have a full pumping capacity. I mean, we can pump water with it. We can haul hose with it. We have SCBAs on it. Current truck we have, that Snorkel it's been a long time probably since it's met any of the current NFPA standards.
It's definitely due for replacement.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was kind of did a little research the other day. That 75 Snorkel replaced a 1941 ladder truck. So it lasted 34 years. This one is 45 years old now. Actually, that ladder truck is the one that's out in the little building out at Center Park.
Oh, the one that it replaced.
Yeah.
Really?
So,
very cool.
So, and you know, in our other two aerials, we have a 98 model Quint, which is a ladder truck, 105 foot, which is 22 years old, and a 2002 that's now 18 years old. So it's time to start replacing some of this stuff. You know, I mean, they last typically longer than what our pumpers do.
Yeah.
Because they don't get used as much.
Not rolled out quite as often,
yeah.
Are they?
So it's something we have to start looking at. So they just keep getting higher and higher. So.
Yes, sir, they do. Now, this one is, this fire truck will actually be over $1 million, which would be the most expensive fire truck we've ever purchased.
Yep.
But again, this is not expanding the fleet. This really is just replacing what we have. Now, Bartlesville is a little bit of a unique community for our size. I don't know too many cities of 35,000 that have, I don't know, we have several buildings that are over 10 stories tall.
Yeah, we have a lot of buildings that are over 5 stories tall. I mean, there's not a community of 36,000 probably anywhere in the nation that have the high-rise buildings that we have in this city.
Which makes us incredibly unique, yeah, but it does present also a unique challenge for the fire department in that we have to maintain some aerial apparatus that perhaps most departments of our size don't have to deal with. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of course, our downtown area is, all those buildings are not closely built together. They're literally hooked together.
Share walls.
Yeah, so you need to be able to get at least probably 3-piece aerial apparatus if you're in a defensive mode, to protect the other surrounding buildings. And so it's important, although you don't see these trucks running down the road a lot. It's kind of like insurance. When you need them, you need them.
Yep.
If you don't have them, you've got a problem. Typically, the 1975 Snorkel, from what I heard, what spawned that purchase of that truck and a ladder, 100-foot ladder truck and a pumper truck that was bought all in 75 was as a result of the Benson Lumber Fire. That 1941 ladder truck was the only aerial apparatus they had back then, and they lost, a block and a half.
Yeah.
So they're a necessity to have if you have something major downtown, no doubt.
Well, and even... So for our mall, that's something people may not understand. These ladders are not just for getting up high. We also have to be able to get out and over the tops of some of these very large buildings. And so I know that our mall is one of them that requires this type of equipment in the event that there was something happening in the mall.
Yeah. We use them probably more than what people realize. We do have a small aerial at Station 2, that little 55-foot teleboom we bought here 2 years ago, which is... works really well. It's just these are just a little bigger trucks, give us more reach.
So that's probably the largest project or the largest expenditure we have in the GO bond for the fire department. But there's also some other things, and these are kind of items that are leftover items or replacement of old things. We've actually got the central fire station roof, and Chief, this is for the section of the roof that didn't get redone when we did the fire station upgrade, right?
Yeah, this is the old existing building, the wash bay area, the apparatus bay area, pretty much all of the old part of the station.
The north end, north
of the new construction. And we've had issues, water leaks and stuff recently, and of course the last thing we want to do is have a roof leak that destroys all that nice remodeling stuff that we did.
The newly remodeled interiors. So
far we've been lucky, and the leaks have been in areas that haven't really caused any damage inside. So, but it's something that I don't know when it was done last. I've been here for a long time, and I don't ever remember there being a full replacement. I know there'd been patchwork and stuff on it, but it's something that's probably time to do it for sure.
And we also have a couple of roof replacements at stations 3 and 4, and we're going to be replacing the traditional roof there with a standing seam metal roof.
Yes. Those buildings, I think we moved into them in 2002, I think. So they're reaching their end of their life.
Yep. Almost 20-year-old roof on there. By the time we get done, it probably will be.
And we have been having some issues with the north station, the one on Madison. We've had some issues, leaking issues, and same thing at Station 4. Station 3 kind of sits out there by itself, not a lot of wind breaks, so when the wind blows, it catches it all.
We have had some storm damage done. Yeah. We've lost some shingles. The metal roofs, these are really long-term replacements, so great investment. We're talking 40 or 50-year life on these metal roofs, so it really will be. It's a wise investment. And then the final thing that you guys have is, this one sounds odd, but we're going to insulate the roof or the ceiling in the central fire station apparatus bay. And it really has nothing to do with the apparatus bay. It has to do with administration being right above that apparatus bay. So
yeah, it gets pretty warm in there in the summertime. That concrete heats up.
Yeah.
And when it heats up, it stays hot for a long time.
Radiates through into the administration
and
offices.
It really struggles, the ACs do, to keep the admin and stuff area cool. And it will look much nicer, also. I mean, for when they get it done, they're going to, from what I understand, we're going to do it like a spray foam type insulation, I'm assuming, and they'll black it out,
yeah,
kind of like what you see in some of the restaurants and stuff. So it'll look nice, and it will serve a good purpose to keep us a little cooler upstairs.
Well, and it should, for a relatively modest cost, this will improve the efficiency of the HVAC systems in that area. Because right now they're running at capacity, so this should reduce our expenditures for utilities in that area as well. So. All right, Chief, anything we missed on the fire side of this thing? I know we've got the firehouse software replacement, but we've got our IT director here. We'll let him handle that one.
Yeah, I'm ready to turn it over to you.
All right.
There you go, man.
All right, thanks, Chief. Well, I have Matt McCullough here. He's not your normal guest. He doesn't usually get to come out with us when we come to the radio, but he's the... I do. I let him out every so often. But Matt is the city's IT director. And Matt, we actually have quite a bit of funding in this GO bond, in this CIP for IT, but we probably don't want to go through every project. Number one, we don't have time, and number two, I don't think anybody wants to hear us talk about all this stuff. But over the last 5 years, really kind of the focus of IT in our bonds has been a couple of things. It's really been redundancy so that we can recover from any sort of disaster, updates because frankly we were a little behind on our IT infrastructure, and then also making it easier to administer. So the projects that we've got in here, Matt, what just kind of a general overview of the types of things that we're looking to do here?
Well, some of it is for the police department. We've got some dispatch radio computers that are a little out of date. They were actually installed during the installation of the new county jail, which are over 8 years old. Also would like to upgrade some UPSs over there. We've got a modular setup over there now, which are a little difficult to get to. Kind of put a one self-contained unit in there to be a little easier control. We actually installed some servers in 2018 bond issue, I believe. Yep. We're already kind of got over 80 servers running on those now, and we're kind of wanting to spend some money on those to upgrade the RAM and hard drive space to add a little more.
So make a little bit better use of what we already got.
That's exactly right. One of the things on there is the virtual desktop server refresh. We currently use those for maintaining the fire department and police. We got a lot of places out there that makes it a little easier for us to maintain.
We cover about 8 to 10 different satellite facilities, yes, that you have to maintain. So
yes,
the virtual server system is kind of what we were talking about. It allows you from a central location to be able to maintain most of those.
Much easier to maintain with less staff. When we replace those servers, we're going to take the old ones and upgrade those and actually try to build a secondary site. We'll refresh those, move those out there. Along with that, we're going to upgrade the secondary site with ACs and UPS unit. Another part of that is adding a generator to that, which is actually in the GO bond side, to make that a fully functioning secondary site to kind of host some off-site storage and maybe run from if we need to.
So we really will have some emergency redundancy there.
So we're trying to get to. I think another important thing, too, that I know you really pushed for is trying to get some annual funding for equipment replacement.
Right.
You know, people come in and want service. It's really nice to have good equipment, you know, and be efficient with, you know, when customers want good service.
And it also helps. I know it wasn't too long ago, we still had some XP computers that were no longer, yep, being supported by Microsoft. So our intent is to ensure that we have security, that our systems are up to date so that they can receive the security patches and help secure our network.
We actually just went through that again with Windows 10. Just got that rolled over, so that's been
ends.
A massive project. We've actually got a couple more projects.
We had somebody ask us one time, when does it end? And
it
the
does
answer
not.
Is it doesn't.
Yeah. We've got an Exchange server upgrade on here, same thing. Office packages, which kind of helps us get away. We've got versions ranging from 2003 to 2016 on Office.
Right.
It'll help us.
It'll all operate a little differently.
That's right. And the new PD software that we're installing right now, some of the requirements require a little bit newer version. That'll help us get everybody up to date on that also. I think, did we speak about the firehouse software?
Yeah, I think that's probably our last thing there, firehouse software.
One thing there that'll help us get everybody on one seamless software platform, and I think that's going to be a huge thing. They're kind of the last outlier. It's kind of a separate system, and I think it'll be great to get everybody on the same platform and be a really, really good upgrade for the city.
We've converted payroll, HR,
yep,
finance. We'll have utility billing, court, PD. We'll have everybody, yep, on planning. We'll have everybody on the same system. And fire will be one of the last ones.
Exactly.
So we've come a long way in a few years on IT, Matt.
Yes, we have.
You're a big part of that, and I thank you for everything that you do there. All right, and now Rocky is going to have to talk like an auctioneer because he probably has the largest number of projects, and he's got about 5 minutes. So,
well, we've handpicked three of our largest projects, and I'll start with the the capital improvement project end of things, and that's the need to replace vehicles and replace equipment. Over the years, we figured out that about 7 years is what we can get out of a police car. We have a take-home car plan where each officer is assigned their own unit. But through the years, we've also figured out that after about 5 years is when we really start spending money on new cars or on cars.
Maintenance. Quite a bit after that period of time.
And the newer vehicles have a 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So the goal here is to keep within that warranty and replace cars before they go out of that warranty. That's usually where we spend the majority of the money on maintenance is replacing engine parts and that kind of thing after about 5 years. A lot of idle time on these police cars, not so much highway mileage, but a lot of hours on the engines. And also over the years, 7 years ago, I think, or so, when we renewed the capital improvement project, we did $210,000 per year for 7 vehicles per year. That number has dramatically increased in the last 7 years. For what we could buy for about $25,000 for a new vehicle 7 years ago is now about $35,000 for a vehicle. And also in the police industry, we've gone from buying passenger vehicles, your regular four-door sedan, to mainly SUVs. And so that's dramatically increased the price of new vehicles. And then also upfitting, putting the equipment on the cars, the emergency lights, prisoner partitions, gun racks, push bars. There's a whole gamut of equipment
it's
that's required.
The amount of equipment that is required.
And
then you got to throw a computer in there.
Right, right.
Technology.
Yeah. One of the things that we've done this time that we wanted the voters to ask for is to upfit those, outsource the upfitting of those vehicles. Our city garage staff, they do a good job on the maintenance end of things and the small upfitting, but when we throw 7 cars at them at once to upfit all of that equipment, and that's not what their expertise is, it takes a while.
Yeah, each vehicle was between, I think it was as long as 4 weeks to
correct.
Upfit a vehicle.
Yeah, so and they get that. To it when they can, when they have time, when they time allows.
Kind of work around it.
We can go to an outside upfitter and probably have 3 cars a week done, rather than three, you know, 7 vehicles in 3 or 4 months.
This is a far more efficient way to go about that. But Rocky, one of the things you touched on is that this is not replacing a vehicle every couple of years. We're talking about our vehicles are usually, again, our goal and the funding is to have vehicles that are no older than 7 years.
Correct. So correct. We have vehicles out there right now on the street today that are 7 years old. It's time to replace
them. Due for replacement.
Yeah, it's time to replace them. So that's the project that I wanted to touch on first, and that's a capital improvement project. The next project that I want to touch on is actually a geobond project, which is a communications upgrade. And I brought Captain Hastings with me today because he's the radio expert in our department. I don't think he has any formal training in it.
But he's become self-taught. The expert.
He's self-taught, but he's become the expert, and I want him to talk a little bit about that.
Basically, you know, we have the same radio system we've had for 30 or 40 years. It's a VHF system. A lot of our local agencies share the same system. But this new system's 800 megahertz system is going to bring us, you know, more in line with the state. Tulsa and all the surrounding communities also have the 800 megahertz system. And the state was kind of in the process of building out into this area. So if we go to a site, if we can develop the site here, then other agencies, the OSBI, Highway Patrol, I believe Department of Transportation would share the same facilities. So it's increased for the police department, but then other agencies will be able to use the same system.
And Jay, currently we have some dead spots. I mean, ours is built quite a while ago, and there are some dead spots in town. And
right, we do have some dead spots within the city limits. So this higher frequency is supposed to be able to penetrate buildings better, so it will give local coverage. Will increase because of this.
So this is an incredibly important project that should help to secure or ensure the safety of the officers so that they're not out of communication
Correct.
Anywhere.
Right. We need to put better radio equipment in their hands. Yes.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks, guys.
We're just about out of time. I do have a quick question for Rocky. How are our officers doing that were exposed to that fentanyl thing?
They're both back to work, believe it or not. Yeah, they made a miraculous recovery. The one officer, of course, went to the hospital and was there for about 10 hours, but they managed to get his system flushed out of that stuff with Narcan, and he's doing well. Both are back to work.
I understand that if it wasn't for the training and the everything that our officers are trained to do in first response, might have been a different outcome.
That's exactly right. Yep. Yes, sir.
Grateful to the first responders for their work on that, those two officers. Could have been a different outcome.
So. All righty. Sorry, folks, I ran a little bit late, but I thought that was an important thing that we needed to get in. I want to thank everybody for coming in for City Talk today. We've got CBS News in progress.